Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The first picture here is just for your own reference purposes. If you want to know where all those cities are named that were in the Old Testament lesson, you can look at the map and see where they're at. And they're spread pretty much throughout the entire known world in those days. Just a curiosity item. You know, as a supervising chaplain, I cover down on 40 to 50 chaplains and chaplain assistants over 6 years of supervision. One of them, we'll call him Chaplain Z. He was a wild card, folks. Loved him. He deployed with our brigade to Iraq with me. Well, deployed to Iraq in 09 to 10. I was also in charge of the North Chapel at Cobb Spiker. Obama wanted us to call it Contingency Operating Base Spiker. We called it Combat Operating Base Spiker. At one of my staff meetings, I proposed a Christmas tree decorating party for the soldiers. Chaplain Z thought this was doomed to failure and an impossible task. It didn't seem spiritual enough to him. He was the kind that would voice his opposition to almost anything, but especially to the commercialism of Christmas, and quite frankly, that is pretty well founded. No question about it. And so a party seemed far too secular for him. And it probably just simply wasn't part of his tradition. He came out of more of the Pentecostal background. Furthermore, how would you get the soldiers to take time out of their busy schedule and come? Some of them couldn't leave their guard posts. He'd never done this in his denominational tradition. And so I suppose my plan for a party was unexpected by him, and it seemed impossible to succeed. Well, we had it, and it was a success. We had a short devotion up front. We then decked the halls and partook of Christmas refreshments. And there you've got the other picture. This is actually from Cobb Spiker 2009, us decorating the chapel Christmas tree. And we've got two of my favorite soldiers there, by the way. So, then a group of us afterwards, after we were all done with that, we went wandering around base singing Christmas carols to those on duty. It was a grand success, and even this chaplain, Chaplain Z, finally admitted it as he got into the spirit of the season. He said, this really isn't so bad. Our text from Isaiah for today also speaks of a mission which seems unexpected and impossible. To the Israelites, it would seem unexpected that the God of Israel would set out to gather the nations to himself and to save them. But why? The Israelites knew that they were God's chosen people and that he cared about them. They had been told this before Isaiah's days, way back in the days of Moses, and had been instructed by God in Exodus chapter 19. And Moses said unto them, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, this is God speaking to Moses. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possessions among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and holy nations. And so this is God speaking through Moses to the people of his days, centuries before. Furthermore, in Isaiah's days, the Lord had made it clear that the nations were to be slaughtered and scattered. We can read these predictions in other places earlier in the book of Isaiah. The nations were foreigners. They were outsiders and considered unworthy of God's care. They were considered unclean, unholy, and all of this was offensive to God. It was unexpected to the Israelites that God would seem to change his mind and decide to use the Jewish nation to reach out to the pagan Gentiles and the pagan Gentile nations that surrounded them. But he did. We here today are of the nations, the pagan Gentile nations, spoken of in our text. And we are the benefactors of this unexpected grace from God. Even more unexpected was that God would next use those pagan Gentiles, and that is us, gathered from the nations, to save others from those nations. Why? The nations were enemies of both God and his people, the Israelites. In fact, a few years after our text, God will use the Assyrians to conquer and destroy half the Israelites, the southern kingdom, and carry them off into captivity, into exile. About 100 years after that, the Babylonians will attack the remainder, the northern kingdom, conquer them, and carry them off into exile. We are numbered as descendants of those enemies of Israel. This just doesn't seem right that God would do this to his people, does it? How could he? And he uses their enemies in the process. That's like the USA sending our criminals to be tried, convicted, and imprisoned in Russia or China. Or maybe worse than that, Iran. The mission to use the Jewish people's enemies, the Gentiles, to reach other Gentiles of the nations seems not only unexpected, but impossible. How can these unrighteous pagans ever be up to the task of reaching others for God? Why would God use Israel's nation, her enemies, to do this? But you know, for our God, the unexpected becomes the expected. The impossible becomes the possible. A closer look at the history of the Old Testament and New Testament shows us that it was always God's plan to reach these nations, to reach out to them, not just the Israelites. It was always God's plan to gather people from all nations unto himself. In the Old Testament Genesis account of Adam and Eve, God speaks to them and to Satan. This is now after their fall into sin in the Garden of Eden. And God says to them and Satan, well, he's speaking to Satan first. He says, I will put enmity between you, the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. And he, that is Jesus, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And when it says bruise his heel, that is a reference to Jesus' death on the cross. Now remember, this promise is made centuries before any promise to Abraham and to his offspring, the Israelites, for them to be God's chosen nation. So clearly the promised Messiah here, who will crush Satan's head, is for all of Adam and Eve's descendants, and not just a select few who will come along later to be called the nation of Israel. As if to reinforce this, we read in the last book of the New Testament, Revelations, where God tells John, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all the tribes, from all the peoples, from all the languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands. And oh, by the way, I have this on the back of my business card, and this is the verse that Sue and I picked out as kind of our motto or slogan when we joined Lutheran Bible Translators back in the late 80s. Love this verse. These two Bible verses, one from the beginning of the Old Testament, the other from the end of the New Testament, think of them as brackets or parentheses of a phrase in a sentence. But in this case, they're bracketing it and making clear to us that from beginning to end, it has always been God's desire to reach the nations, and that all should come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. It's always been his plan. God accomplishes his plan by sending Jesus to be our Savior, that whoever believes in him, irregardless of race, ethnicity, language, social background, might have eternal life, John 3:16. Jesus is the sign towards which the nations gather. And as he is lifted up on the cross, so he draws all people from all nations to himself. Through faith in Jesus' death and resurrection, we are cleansed of our sins and called his friends. We are no longer his enemies. Taking a closer look at things from God's perspective, we also see that it was expected that God would use the nations now to carry out his mission. It's kind of like, you know, they passed the baton in the race, right? The baton has been passed to the Gentiles. God could have intervened directly. He could have used angels instead of using people. But instead, God used people. He used Abraham, the father of all the Jews, to also be a blessing to all the nations, because from his lineage, Jesus would come. Abraham, also named Israel, was God's light to the nations to bring his salvation to the ends of the earth. And so we should expect that he will use the Israelites to reach the Gentiles, and then the Gentiles to reach other Gentiles. So he will use us today to Charlie Mike. Anyone here from the military knows what that means. You have the phonetic alphabet. Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, Echo, right? Foxtrot, Golf. Well, if you're having a hard time on the radio talking to someone, use the phonetic alphabet. Back in the days, especially probably in Vietnam and Korea, military radios were pretty lousy. And I will tell you from experience, they're not better in the Gulf War or the war we had in Iraq or Afghanistan. And so sometimes reception is so bad you have to spell out a word that your person on the other end can't understand. And so you spell it phonetically using those types of words. Well, God has called us today to Charlie Mike. That means to complete the mission. We here today should remember that we are those nations. We should expect God to use us in the task of sharing the gospel. You see, God's mission is like a bucket on a string. You can put water in a bucket on a string, and if you swing it fast enough, the water will stay in the bucket. I was thinking of trying this today, but I thought, what if the rope broke or something? Physics tells us that the force, and you've got a picture here. We've got it all laid out for you. So the force pulling out when you spin the bucket is centrifugal force. The force pulling back in by yourself is centripetal force. These two forces are always there, and they're countering each other to make things work properly and make sure that if I actually did do it today, the water wouldn't go out there and hit some of you in the audience. Likewise, as we live the Christian life, there are always two things happening. God is always gathering us together with his holy word, the word of God, and his sacraments. And that would be like centripetal force, pulling us in. But then, renewed by his forgiveness, strengthened in our faith, we are then sent out again, and this is like centrifugal force. Graciously gathered, graciously sent. You know, we gathered. Christmas 2009, in that chapel, early in December, we gathered centripetally to worship our Lord and to prepare the festivals and the Christmas tree. And then we went out centrifugally through Christmas carols to share that message of the coming of Christ with our fellow soldiers. Not everyone is called to serve as a pastor. Not everyone is called and sent out as a missionary or a military chaplain. But we have all been placed into families, into friendships, into workplaces, into communities, into churches, where we can still declare to others about Jesus Christ and him crucified for our sins and for theirs. We can also support missionaries and outreach missions. In the narthex today, by the way, as you go down the stairs and around the corner, is a display that we had at our preschool orientation, which we shared with people about the work that we are doing as a church here, some of the projects we are involved in. We also have the Gideons with us today. They are engaged in the centrifugal work of getting the Word of God out to people, which then helps in a centripetal sense in bringing people into the body of Christ, where they find their salvation. Furthermore, how might God be calling us at Mount Calvary in additional ways to reach the nations? And the nations isn't always overseas either, folks. Sometimes it's the person next door. Sometimes it's Richfield. Our mission here on earth is not an impossible mission or a mission impossible. It's not a surprising mission because it reflects the very centripetal and centrifugal, that is, missionary heart of God in drawing nations unto himself. Its successful accomplishment is already guaranteed because Jesus Christ accomplished the salvation mission through his death and resurrection and continues to carry that mission out through you and I, through real people. Graciously gathered, graciously sent. What a joyful privilege we have to be his missionaries to the world around us. as we call out to them to share with us and to put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses only our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith to life eternal. Amen.